It's totally out of control. We need to close down in Florida. We've asked the governor to do that.
Officials look at new coronavirus measures. It's Tuesday, July 21st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson. You'll find us as well on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, two very different approaches in the race for the White House. Slimy sleuthing for virus data. A controversial Pakistani temple is under construction. New environmental threats. And helping to cope amid the pandemic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Coronavirus infections and deaths continue to mount in the United States, and that's prompting officials to take actions they once resisted. Marcus Harton joins us to tell us more.
Police in Miami Beach, Florida, enforced a new curfew Saturday night.
We're hoping that by closing earlier, it actually tones down the party and it'll allow these folks to go home, go back to their hotels, wherever they're staying, and possibly keep everyone else around them, everyone else in our city, safe.
Representative Donna Shalala, who represents Miami Beach in Congress, is calling for even tougher action to stop the spread.
And it's totally out of control. We need to close down in Florida. We've asked the governor to do that, and we've even asked him to do the simplest thing, and that is to require masks for everyone. He has not done that.
Climbing case numbers have forced other governors who once resisted mask mandates to put them in place.
We did take the further step of instituting a statewide mask mandate. Not something I wanted to do, but it's something everybody can do to relieve the pressure on our hospitals, to give us a hope to bring down those cases.
President Donald Trump says he's not ordering mask wearing nationwide. In an exclusive interview on Fox News Sunday, he cited contradictory advice on masks issued during the early days of the pandemic.
Everybody was saying don't wear a mask. All of a sudden, everybody's got to wear a mask. And as you know, masks cause problems too. With that being said, I'm a believer in masks. I think masks are good. But I leave it up to the governors.
To deal with the economic consequences of the virus, Congress is expected this week to work on another coronavirus stimulus package. Lawmakers are under pressure to act quickly because their August recess is approaching. Marcus Harton, VOA News, Washington.
There's much more on this and other stories that you hear on VOA Asia. All you have to do is follow our Twitter stream at VOA Asia to find out more. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, also the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. UK ratchets up criticism of China over Uyghurs and Hong Kong. Prominent Hong Kong democracy activist files candidacy for legislature. U.S. Taliban urge Afghan leaders to complete prisoner swap. Did China block Vietnam offshore oil contract? The unlikely story of the first made-in-Vietnam ventilators to fight COVID-19. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you make a visit to Facebook at VOA Asia and stop by our voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson. With the coronavirus pandemic hampering rally plans, the Trump campaign has gone on the offensive with massive ad spending and using White House events as opportunities to deliver his re-election bid message. Meanwhile, his presumptive Democratic opponent, Joe Biden, is sticking to a less-is-more approach, limiting travel and news conferences. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara takes a look at the different strategies between the campaigns.
The radical left-wing mob's agenda? Take over our cities, defund the police, pressure more towns to follow, and Joe Biden stands with them.
President Donald Trump's campaign ads show a candidate on the offensive with a negative message attacking his opponent.
innocent children fatally shot.
With campaign rallies postponed due to the pandemic, Trump is relying on ads and presidential events to press his opponent, Democratic presumptive nominee Joe Biden, who is ahead in most public opinion polling. In Tuesday's China policy announcement at the White House,
Biden sides with China over America time and time again.
And at Wednesday's infrastructure event in Atlanta,
Biden is happy to tie up projects and red tape, and we want to get things built.
Like Trump, past incumbents have employed what's known as the Rose Garden strategy, using presidential events at the White House to highlight achievements in an election year.
But if you use an event like that, or you use a press conference that's supposed to be about an official announcement about Hong Kong, and instead take 90% of the time to attack your political opponent, that's not the way things have been done in the past by previous presidents.
Well, I couldn't come to Scranton without coming by the old house.
Meanwhile, Biden is taking a less is more approach, limiting campaign travel and news conferences.
Limiting Biden's exposure, but also allowing Trump to have the main news coverage has actually been very effective because Trump has not been on message and has frequently stumbled into errors and into saying things that can be used very effectively against him.
The latest Quinnipiac University poll shows Biden with a wide lead of 52% to Trump's 37%. Other polling has the race closer.
The duty to care.
This despite the Biden campaign spending much less on ads than Trump.
But I promise you this, I won't traffic in fear and division. I won't fan the flames of hate.
The ads have largely emphasized the need to bring the country together in times of crisis.
I will not abandon you. We're all in this together. We'll fight this together.
Implying that Trump is failing to do so.
This stronger than we were before we began.
Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
I approve this message.
Happening now in Asia, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has lashed out at officials for construction delays on a new hospital in Pyongyang and ordered them to be fired. The troubled project may signal difficulties in securing construction materials due to U.S.-led sanctions and the coronavirus pandemic. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us on VOA Asia. For public health officials attempting to manage the spread of coronavirus, knowing how many people in a city or neighborhood are infected is key information. But challenges to widespread population testing are leading many cities to look for data under manhole covers. Yes, sewage may be essential to spotting the next outbreak. Matt Dibble has the story.
When the Grand Princess cruise ship docked in Oakland, California in early March, carrying passengers and crew infected with coronavirus, Eileen White faced a daunting task. White is the director of wastewater for the utility that serves 685,000 households in San Francisco's East Bay area.
They came into the port of Oakland with a cruise ship full of waste, and they needed to get rid of it. And so we effectively treated, you know, some of the first coronavirus sewage.
Detecting the virus in sewage is a necessary step toward effectively destroying it. Soon it became clear that detection might be useful in other ways, too.
Early on, we were approached by a number of universities. Would we want to, you know, help be part of the process and trying to figure out how sewage could be a useful tool as an early indicator of the presence of coronavirus in the community versus waiting for people to show up in the hospital.
Patient testing on a scale necessary to control the virus has been hampered for many reasons. Not everyone is getting tested, but everyone uses the bathroom.
You're seeing in the sewage before people are really showing the symptoms days and weeks before.
White's team is collecting samples each week and sending them to multiple labs, including the Nelson Lab at the University of California, Berkeley.
We're really interested in trends of increasing or decreasing infections, and that would help guide decision-making.
But getting useful data from raw sewage also has many challenges.
There's a lot of things that make wastewater complicated, right? So it's not just poop and pee and wastewater, it's also rainwater and laundry water and things that vary with time. And so that will affect how dilute the virus is in the sample, like how much we can detect.
wastewater epidemiologists have successfully tracked polio and Ebola, but the scale of the COVID-19 crisis is spurring an unprecedented rapid response. An international alliance of over 400 researchers is collaborating weekly on methods and standards. Massachusetts-based BioBot Analytics currently analyzes wastewater samples from 41 states in the U.S. using machine learning.
Wastewater data that you measure today is giving you an early warning indication of how many new COVID-19 cases you will see in that community about 7 days out.
This is because in the first few days of infection, people often have no symptoms and are not getting tested, but are still shedding the virus when they use the bathroom.
Wastewater gives you that window of opportunity.
Detecting outbreaks earlier can help health officials distribute resources and save lives.
The amount of value that people suddenly see in wastewater, I think, is refreshing to realize that it is this catchment of all of society and that we have a way of tracking important diseases. And I think it'll probably be used going well into the future as well.
The Nelson Lab at Berkeley plans to monitor sewage on their own campus this fall to support the university's safe reopening. For VOA News, Matt Dibble, Berkeley, California.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Australia is looking at the popular Chinese-owned social media platform TikTok for any risks it may pose to users from around potential foreign interference and data privacy issues. The U.S. is also looking at TikTok for possible national security risks. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, construction for the Pakistani government-approved Shri Krishna Mandir complex in Islamabad has been halted by municipal authorities amid protest by hardline Islamic clerics and politicians who say the Hindu temple has no place in the Pakistani capital. VOA Urdu Services' Gaithi Era Anis filed this report from Islamabad, narrated by Naila Mohammed.
This is the site for the Shri Krishna Mandir in Islamabad, allocated to the Hindu religious minority community in Pakistan. The temple, crematorium, and community center are seen by many as an important step for the country's path towards religious tolerance. But hardline Muslim clerics and some politicians argue it's against the spirit of Islam in Pakistan's society.
Bringing idol worshiping here amid a Muslim society is different. The foundation of our country is that there is no God but Allah.
Prime Minister Imran Khan last month approved the equivalent of $1.3 million for the temple, only to withdraw the funds and halt the construction work until further notice.
Pakistan is religiously diverse, and everyone has the equal rights here. We maintain our rights. The government has allotted us this plot of land. There should be no obstacles. We should be allowed to build the temple over here.
Hindus say a place of worship is their religious right, vowing to build the temple at their expense if the government does not provide them with funding. Pakistani media this month reported that a group of men destroyed the temple's boundary wall. Petitions have also been filed in court challenging the construction. The government, however, denies that the construction was halted due to communal matters, and says the Hindu minority has yet to submit a building request plan.
We have not received a building plan request from them yet. Until their building plans are approved, they cannot begin construction on the site. As far as the CDA is concerned, we issue allotments and approve building plans. They are responsible for the construction.
Watchdog groups such as Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International have called the hardliners' campaign discriminatory. They are urging the government to immediately resume construction of the temple. An estimated 4 million Hindus live in Pakistan, making them the largest non-Muslim minority. Rights groups say the community faced increasing marginalization, with individuals often being accused of blasphemy. For Gaiti Ara Anis in Islamabad, this is Naila Mohammed, VOA News, Washington.
How to stay healthy. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses.
Now on VOA Asia, growing threats imperil life in the world's oceans and seas, and scientists are saying warming waters endanger young and unborn fish more than previously thought, while a newly discovered species of seaweed is suffocating life in Pacific waters. VOA's Arash Arabisadi reports on threats to waters, both local and global.
Beneath the surface of Hawaii's blue waters lurks a menace swaying in the currents and choking life.
I think what makes this really concerning is that it's very rare, it's very alarming to find that there's something that is behaving like an invasive species.
Allison Sherwood is chief scientist of seaweed study at the University of Hawaii. She says in 2016, researchers from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration discovered small clumps of a new alga they'd never seen before.
This is a nuisance seaweed, and we don't have a name for this alga. That's rare. You don't typically find something coming into an environment and causing this level of alarm and simply not knowing what it is or where it might have come from.
Sherwood says the discovered seaweed overtook parts of the reef by 2019, and NOAA's Randall Kasaki warns invasion could suffocate other waters as well as local industry.
If something like this got back to Waikiki or anywhere in the main Hawaiian Islands, it would be an ecological disaster, but also an economic disaster. You can imagine what that would do to tourism, to have an algae like this overgrowing the reefs.
Without controlling its spread, the new seaweed could deliver a major blow to America's 50th state, where tourism drives nearly a quarter of the economy. Meanwhile, rising water temperatures around the East African Seychellois archipelago contribute to low oxygen levels that threaten fish when they're most at risk as embryos or newborn spawn.
The reason for them being sensitive to temperature has to do with the provision of oxygen to these organisms.
Professor Hans Otto Portner of the Helmholtz Center for Polar and Marine Research says the concern is rising temperatures forcing fish in oceans spanning the globe to find cooler waters to spawn.
The species would have to move out of this area, look for different sites that may be more suitable, and would have to experience a risk of whether this site is suitable based on other reasons like food availability and so forth.
Among those hardest hit will be the Alaskan pollock, the United States' biggest fishery. Arash Arabisadi, VOA News, Washington.
Like African Americans and other people of color in the United States, Navajos are suffering a disproportionately high rate of COVID-19 fatalities, running at nearly twice the national per capita rate. That's according to the Navajo Department of Health data. The disease caused by the coronavirus has exacerbated existing inequalities within the Navajo Nation Reservation. VOA's Julie Tabo has more on how a group of Navajo women is helping their neighbors with critical needs.
Across the desert landscape of Two Gray Hills, New Mexico, a pickup truck brings food and firewood to a Navajo family of seven whose father died of the COVID-19 infection hours earlier. Relief workers unload the provisions and leave them at the door for the now quarantined family.
We're stepping up for the community members at a time that is so crucial.
Kim Smith heads up a volunteer group made up mostly of Navajo women who are providing support to a growing number of families quarantined in homes where a relative has died of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus.
Thank you.
As big as West Virginia, the reservation is a food desert with only 13 small grocery stores and almost 50% unemployment.
It's really important to get this food out, especially for our elders who are more at risk and could be immunocompromised.
The pandemic has laid bare stark inequalities in health care, housing, and basic services between the Navajo Nation and the states of New Mexico, Utah, and Arizona.
It's just shedding light on the disparities that have already existed and also the lack of federal funding to meet the demand of the health needs.
Cora So, a Navajo woman who recently graduated from law school in Arizona, lost her grandparents to COVID-19 in May.
They started to feel sick, and by the end of April, they were really bad, and they were in the hospital for a couple of weeks. My mom texted me and told me that my grandpa passed on, and then in the afternoon, my grandma also passed on, so they passed on within hours of each other on the same day. The last time that I talked to them, they were really excited, and we're looking forward to come to watch me graduate.
So says she believes her grandparents' deaths came prematurely due to a lack of infrastructure on the reservation.
One of the biggest things that we can do to help combat this virus is to wash our hands and is to stay healthy and stay hydrated. And for a lot of members on the Navajo Reservation, the infrastructure difficulties really exacerbates the problem.
Chris Beecher is a former chairman of the Navajo Housing Authority. He says COVID-19 has exposed the chronic underfunding of the Navajo Nation.
The biggest issues we face are not new. Health disparities, economic disparities, employment, educational, all of them relate to chronic underfunding by the U.S. government.
Having broadband connectivity across the Navajo Nation would also be a huge boon to the economy, he says, and for education.
You can see that by not investing in Indian country, you put Native American children at a disadvantage. What we need is continued, sustained, increasing funding for Native American tribes in order to meet the needs and just to keep up.
Until then, people who want to help will do what they can to alleviate suffering where they see it. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
People across the globe are feeling the stress and anxiety that comes with a pandemic, and many people are channeling that energy into helping others. VOA's Mohammed Ahmadi has more.
While having to work from his home in South Reading, Virginia, just 40 miles west of Washington, D.C., Jeff Shee and his family decided to help others outside his work hours. She is sorting out these shopping bags, each filled with 100 KN95 face masks for shipment to hospitals and medical facilities around the country.
We have a shipment going to New York, and that shipment is about 133 masks to a cardiologist hospital, cardiology division. And we have going to North Carolina, we have going to San Antonio.
She initiated a fundraising page on Facebook, setting a goal to buy 100 masks for donations. An outpouring of support allowed him to buy 4,000 masks. She had to ask his friends for help distributing the masks.
Resources are so scarce, but we are trying to put together a big order, and we need more help from the community, from federal government, from the state. If we can get state fund or FEMA fund, you know, then we can go out there and buy N95 masks and KN95 masks in massive order. So right now everybody needs it. Frontline hospital people needs it. We have cancer patient needs it. We have nursing home needs it. We have first responders, sheriff's office, everybody needs it.
In a nearby department store, Shukufa Khan and Tahseen are in a fabric aisle to buy material to make face masks. They make face masks at home and donate them to healthcare workers.
I feel so good. This is the best, like, I can do something for someone.
I mean, I think we're helping our community.
I think we're helping each other,
yes. Right? That's the most important thing, especially in this crisis. Whatever yes. little we can do, we should all do it.
People dealing with trying times by helping frontline workers battle the pandemic. Mohammed Ahmadi, VOA News, South Reading, Virginia.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. We're also on Twitter by that same name. And you can find us on Instagram. See us on YouTube. And as always, our full-length programs can be found at voanews.com. You can listen to them or stream them and take them with you. Either way, we thank you for joining us. And we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Pulpy Boone. I'm Jim Stevenson. Have a great day. Be safe. Be well.